Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Benjamin Tall is our guest today. He's the deputy chief economist at CIBC. Been with us for one segment already. And Benny, thanks for sticking around. We've got lots of questions here still, but one of the big questions we get from clients all the time is what happens given whatever the outcome might be in the U.S. presidential race. If Biden wins, is that bad for Canada or good for Canada? If Trump wins, what's better for Canada and the global economy? Can you address that for us?
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be very interesting. First of all, what I'm losing sleep over is not even the election results. It's the process.
Yeah.
It is not unthinkable that you will see a situation in which there is no clear winner. And you can get into this chaotic window of a few months in which nobody knows anything. The market will not like it. Second, which is very interesting, and I think that some of your listeners are aware of that, Republicans, on average, are more willing to go physically and vote. While Democrats, about 50% of Democrats are telling you, we are not going physically to vote because of the virus, we are going to send it by mail. This means that early results will show that actually Trump is winning.
Yep.
The exit polls that you get on CNN, you know, on midnight, they might show that Trump is leading or winning, but this will be a biased sample. But that can really impact the psyche of everything. And then are you going to vote the mail, data? It's going to be very complicated and a week of chaos. So this is one of the nightmare scenarios. It's going to be a close call. Now, what it means, if you have a Biden victory, the market will not like it. Let's face it. The market will not like it because Biden is talking about raising taxes, roughly $3.1 trillion. This is about 5% of corporate earnings in the U.S. down. So the market will not like it. It's clearly negative for energy. It's positive for the environment. It's definitely negative for financials because banks in the U.S. are the only ones that actually pay the full corporate rate tax, and also it's negative from a regulation perspective. So all those forces are negative for the market. If you have a Trump victory, I'm not sure that the market will rally dramatically. Maybe from a short period of time it will, but at the same time, remember, there will be one thing and a big thing that Trump will be focusing on, and that will be trade. Mm-hmm. So far, he has been very gentle on China. And I think that if he have a second term, he will take the gloves off and will go after China big time because that was the premise of his elections 4 years ago. So I think that this Cold War / trade war with China that will escalate might be actually negative for the psyche of the market. So I think that it's going to be very interesting over the next few months after the elections and even before.
So, Benny, other topics that are coming up in regards to the economy is this concept of taxation here in Canada. With all this money being printed and stimulated in the economy, I think it's just to preserve the economy, not even stimulate the economy. Taxes have to go up at some point, and we're hearing and we're seeing more and more articles in the newspapers, those major publications talking about taxes on your house or a wealth tax or bring on an increase in GST or whatever. What are your thoughts about a tax increase coming?
Yes. So first of all, we have to remember, and you're absolutely right, that we are not stimulating the economy. The money that the government is spending and the Bank of Canada is printing is basically replacing income. And as you know, maybe we are replacing income too much. This is the first recession ever that they saw disposable income in Canada actually rising. So you have more government money being injected into the economy than income loss in the labor market. So that's something that we have to fix. And I hope that the CRB, the new program, and the more inclusive the EI system will fix it because, yes, it's good and important to support, but at the same time, we cannot afford wasting money and giving money to people that really don't need that. That's one thing. Second, we know that the starting point fiscally was relatively good, the debt-to-GDP ratio went from 30 to 50%, which is not great, but it's better than any other OECD country that we have seen. The U.S. just started the crisis at 50%. We are at 50% of debt-to-GDP now. So we are clearly in a better position. So if you look at the overall situation, clearly Canada started this crisis from a very good fiscal position. Our debt-to-GDP ratio was up from 30% to 50%. In the U.S., the starting point was 50%. What I'm saying here is that it's not optimal by any stretch of the imagination, but there is no urgency to raise taxes or cut spending in a significant way. We have to remember that despite the fact that the debt level is rising, interest payments on our debt last year, in fact, went down by 4%. And that's something that we have to take into account. So overall, it means that the government can afford slowing down, reduce spending without really raising taxes in a very significant way. There is no need to balance the budget tomorrow. I agree that long term, we might see some increase in taxes, but for the next 2 to 3 years, when the economy is rebounding slowly from this crisis, there is no need to do so given our fiscal position, and that would be a positive. Down the road, do I see an increase in the inclusion rate, capital gain? Absolutely, I see that. Do I see an increase in the marginal tax rate? Probably not. I see some increase in property taxes because municipalities are starving when it comes to cash. And I doubt that we will see the wealth tax or even GST, given the implications politically. So there will be some increase in taxation. But given extremely low interest rates, I don't see any scenario, with the exception of a no-vaccine scenario, in which the debt-to-GDP ratio will rise. In fact, it will go down given extremely low interest rates. One more point. Remember, Paul Martin, when he had to cut, interest payments were rising much faster than GDP. This is not the case now. So yes, taxes and spending will go down. There is no urgency to do so tomorrow.
Benny, another minute or so before we have to go to commercial break, I'd like to get your thoughts on this notion of a universal basic income. This is being floated around as a conversation. We get lots of questions about that. Your thoughts about that?
Yes, you know, every crisis is a trend accelerator, and this crisis is no exception. And I think that without even noticing that, we are establishing now the social safety net of tomorrow. And in many ways, that's a good thing, because one issue that this crisis has exposed is the rising and huge income inequality in Canada, clearly in the U.S. and other countries. We have to deal with it. I don't say universal basic income. Universal means that everybody, you and me, regardless of your income, get something, a check in the mail, and then you have to start clawing back as your income goes up. It will be more basic income that will be tailored towards people who need it, but you will have some sort of minimum payment. I will not be surprised if the CRB will be translated or changed into some sort of basic income mechanism, in which mostly self-employed that cannot get EI money will be able to get some sort of minimum payment along the line that we are seeing in places like Sweden and Denmark. I think we are going this direction. Again, it's not going to be universal basic income. Not everybody will be getting it, but the people who need it probably will get it. So it's really an extension of the CERB, CRB, into something more sustainable. I think we are going this direction.
Benny, we'll leave it at that. And I want to thank you very much for taking some time with us today. We kept you for an extra segment, and I appreciate that.
It's a pleasure. Good luck.
We've been joined by Benjamin Talls, a deputy chief economist at CIBC. Okay, my friend, we've got to make sure that there is a basic income met to support a lifestyle in retirement. That's the goal.
Yeah, so how do you build that process so you have income for life while managing all these issues that we were just talking about? And we're going to discuss this strategy to bulletproof your retirement on Tuesday, September 22nd, 7 p.m., live online. you need to go to our website to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Don't believe what they tell you about retirement. Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR in More Than Money.